Speak up.
You're listening to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. We're the campus and community radio station at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast from unceded Coast Salish territories.
Good morning and welcome to Speak Up for Monday, March 11th. My name is Magnus Teeval. I'm your host for this morning, and joining me today is
Peter R.H. That's one way I go by.
And we're also going to be joined today by Ayu Sakamoto, who's and Stephen Fan, both of them who've been to great events in Vancouver, and they're going to come and tell us about those. What are you going to be talking about later on the show today?
Well, I'm going to talk about Technocracy, which was in 1932. A lot of people thought this was going to happen because there was a great depression by the 1929 stock market crash. And things got worse and worse, by the way, including the cost of how much a stock would have to be worth. Mm-hmm.
So the word you used was technocracy, not technology, because it was a movement of sorts, was it not?
It still exists. Technocracy Incorporated still exists. And the slang term that we say, you're a technocrat, well, actually it was seen as a good thing. In fact, mm-hmm. I have attended technocratic lectures. They're no longer in the Vancouver area, but I know everything about it.
Well, we're going to talk about this later, but I remember when I was growing up in Victoria, they had an office just off Gorge Road.
No, it was on Kingsway.
This was in Victoria.
Oh, yeah. Well, what was actually the... it was on Kingsway, one block west of Boundary Road, and they were there until 1995. And actually, it started in New York City, and it was across the United States and Canada. Time magazine talked about it, but we were the hotbed for many of years of what technocracy was. And it's not here anymore, and there's a story to tell about that.
Okay. all right, Stephen's joined us here in the studio.
Oh, hello. Do you like this? Hello.
Hello.
Yeah.
What are you going to talk about a little later in the program?
I'm going to talk about a show I went to earlier, which is called Sunrise Biddies. And it's a show put on by a group called It's a Zoo. Mm-hmm. The show run actually just ended yesterday, Sunday. But it was kind of this fascinating show, and I look forward to seeing more shows from the group. Basically, Sunrise Biddies, the premise is an all-female street gang in East Vancouver in the 1970s.
Awesome.
And
don't make me talk about anything. No, that sounds like it's going to be really interesting.
Exactly.
All right. Well, we'll be back with Stephen's review a little later in the program and Peter's chat about technocracy. But first, this is Climate Connections.
I'm Dr. Anthony Lizowitz, and this is Climate Connections. When hurricanes or wildfires strike, it's important to be able to evacuate quickly. Having a plan in place ahead of time can make all the difference. Before an emergency hits, sign up for text message alerts from your local emergency management office so you get information in real time. When extreme weather is predicted, pack a bag with essential items, such as medications and important documents, and make sure your car is fully charged or gassed up. If you don't have a car, check with your local emergency management office about how people who use public transit should evacuate during a crisis. And look up the planned evacuation routes for your community and identify the route you'll take and where you'll plan to stay. You may need to call ahead to identify locations that are pet-friendly or accessible for people with disabilities. When the disaster comes, cell towers may be damaged or the network overwhelmed, making it difficult to stay in touch by phone. So take the time now to identify where and how you'll meet up with your family during a crisis. and decide who will pick up kids or elderly parents. Having a plan in place now can help keep everyone safe during a wildfire or weather disaster. Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. To learn more about climate change, visit climateconnections.org.
In the nightclub of my mind, I'm doing cocaine in the cloakroom. Come on, set me free from my vain and selfish ways. From the gemstones of your eyes, I see stars that shine forever. So come on, set me free from my vain and selfish ways. Your companionship will keep me on the dance floor.
Gruff Reese and Sadness Sets Me Free. You're listening to Speak Up this morning on CJSF 90.1 FM. And IU has joined us in the studio as well, so we have a full house.
Excellent.
Hello.
So did any of you guys watch the Oscars last night?
I watched a little bit of it.
Yeah, I watched some of it too.
No.
No? And Peter has already explained to us that he avoids it on principle.
Understandable.
You can't hear me, radio audience, but I've seen the movie Oppenheimer on my jump drive, but my brother placed it there. So I've seen that movie. I haven't seen the Barbie movie, but that Robin. We had the conference, the weekend conference for CJSF.
Yep.
And Robin, I haven't seen the Barbie movie, but she liked it.
I haven't seen it either.
But I don't like the whole campaign over the years, the toy and all that. But for some reason, it's feminist in some way, which I can't figure out.
Well, I haven't seen the film. I actually saw very few of the films this year. I think this year was one of the years where I saw fewer films than at any time. You getting set there, Steve?
Oh yeah, I'm just grabbing the third mic from Creative from the DJ station.
Awesome. So there is some controversial speech you were telling me that blew up on Twitter.
Yeah, I'm not too sure what's going on, but apparently there was a very controversial speech by Jonathan Glazer, who actually I don't know very much about. It seems like from his accent he's British or Australian or something. But he apparently self-identifies as Jewish, and he condemned the current military operation in Gaza.
That is a bold statement. It's yeah. You look like you got something to say there.
No, I don't. I mean, okay. We're behind the times. If you had television, everybody could see all this.
Yeah. Well, very interesting. I mean, I'm not surprised politics, that particular conflict has brought itself up at the Oscars, as it seems to be dominating sort of the public discourse these days in terms of issues that people are most concerned about, with what we see now is more than 30,000 deaths in Gaza and no end in sight to the war that's going on there.
Well, it's crazy, right? Because apparently they're going to attack Rafah in March during Ramadan, and that's apparently very, very controversial.
Well, of course, they asked everyone, they told everyone they had to go to the south to avoid the conflict, and of course now all the folks are down there in the south, and now they're going to go attack there as well. Well, let's move on to your review, Steve.
Yeah.
Why don't you move that other mic? I'm just going to a little closer to you. Okay. Yeah, that one. That's good.
Perfect. Yeah, I'm here.
Why don't you tell us about your performance you saw?
Yeah, so the performance I saw is called Sunrise Betty's. And Sunrise Betty's is a play by the playwright Chen Rulu, and also directed by the director Jamie King. And it took place, I think, February 21st to yesterday, March the 10th, and at Russian Hall in East Vancouver. And it's a fascinating show because I kind of expected, you know, like this kind of indie, kind of like hipster kind of play. And it wasn't anything like that. It was kind of this incredibly panoramic experience that took place actually in the basement of the Russian Hall. And it was kind of, we sat, all the audience, we had like 40, 50 odd people at the performance I attended, sat around the performance area. The basement was actually the living room, both in the play and also in a sense for the audience.
Right.
And we kind of sat around and just experienced what was going on. And I would say actually, you know, like I get the details later, but I would say the most impressive. The biggest impression for me was kind of like being transported in time back to one of these like Vancouver special basements in the 1970s, right? Because this is before Vancouver became this glamorous global city. And I think the director, I mean, sorry, the playwright talks about this a lot as well, because she was talking about how she grew up in East Vancouver in the 90s and so forth. And, you know, like back then, even it was, Vancouver was still much more kind of a working class, scrappier place before, oh, you know, the skyscrapers, the boulders, or whatever. And I think she wanted to kind of bring that back to life in the play. And I think she definitely accomplished that because, you know, I read a lot of Guardian reviews, and Guardian reviews use this word, which I love, which is, you know, overused, but it's great here. It's called propulsive. And I think propulsive describes this play really well because in the beginning it was very languorous. You're just kind of taking it in, basking in the atmosphere, the vibe of the whole thing. And then gradually it builds faster and faster, and it's like a snowball until in the second half of the play, thankfully there's a very, you know, restful intermission. In the second half of the play, you know, a sequence of events of great violence, but even greater effect emotionally, take place, and you're like, actually, this is a really good play. Again, I accept the review assignment. I wasn't expecting a whole lot, you know. Like you hear about indie plays and stuff like that, and you know, a lot of times they don't pay off. But in this case, I really thought it paid off, and you know, like it's just a really good play. And the plot is about basically the premise is an all-female street gang in the 1970s. The year actually is 1972, which is why there is specific references to David Bowie in the play, and you know, there's music from David Bowie. But it was based on the Clark Park gang. This is back when Vancouver had all these little gangs on the east side, on the west side as well, formed around like parks essentially. There was the Bobo gang, the Riley Park gang, the Dunbar Park gang, which is crazy. But like. And they would just fight each other for fun and for profit. And this plot is based loosely upon the book by the author Aaron Chapman called The Last Gang in Town. And, you know, like Aaron Chapman talked about how, you know, like this is not organized crime. This is disorganized crime. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this is not like guns and, you know, high-powered weaponry. It was kind of like people were picking up baseball bats and, you know, throwing down garbage cans. And it was just kind of like, and just
a bit more of the style of West Side Story than Boys in the Hood, perhaps.
Oh, absolutely. It was kind of this. Then that's what kind of, I think, the magic of the play is. It's not the pure noir, gritty kind of just crime. Like it was not like Sopranos, where it was just kind of like, you know, just an ending series of depressing crime. It was kind of like, there's crime, but these people, are they really criminals or are they kind of like part-timers? Like, it's hard to say. And it's in that weird, ambiguous gray zone that where this thing happens. And I think, in a sense, having an all-female cast actually made it really interesting. It seemed really woke, but like it was actually really interesting because it made it comes alive emotionally in a way that if it was just about traditional kind of criminal mastermind kind of roles, that it wouldn't be. It was more about the emotional connections and conflicts between the characters. And I just want to give a shout out to the actresses who did such a great job as well. And, you know, like Patty Allen, Caitlin Yacht, Kelsey Canton, Wavy, Megan Chernofsky. It's just, you know, it was a really well-done play. And I remember just sitting in the middle of the play and near the end. And there's no spoilers anymore because, you know, the run is over. But, like, and at the very end, when everything's already happened, and then suddenly you hear the soft sounds of David Bowie coming through the pipe. It was lovely, and I really tremendously enjoyed it. And I kind of, you know, if something else comes along, or if doing a rerun or whatever, I absolutely recommend people go, because it was, you know, it's hard to experience the Vancouver of the 1970s, where, you know, as the playwright says, it was just kind of a much grittier working class place. And I think this is such a good job of it.
Excellent. Do you know what the theater company that was putting
it's
it
called,
on?
It's called It's a Zoo. It's called It's a Zoo, which is great. It's a Zoo, all in capital letters.
Nice. Excellent. Well, it sounds like a fascinating experience. It's a shame the the run is over, that people can't run out and catch it. But keep your eyes open for another production by this company.
Absolutely, and you know, going forward, I probably try and do the review like the Monday right after the show. Yeah. But we see how it goes.
All right. Great. Well, thank you for that review, Stephen.
No worries.
You've got another one coming up.
Yes, I've got. I believe next Monday. It's about experimental opera, and the opera is about Eisenhart. It's just a great story about this Swiss woman who goes to North Africa and has this transformative experience, and it's told from these kind of like multiple angles, and it's really fun. And we'll talk about that next week.
Great. In a couple moments, Ayu's going to bring us her artist profile. Who are you going to be talking about today, Ayu?
Today, I will talk about one of my favorite Japanese singers called Kirolo.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. All right, well, we'll be back with that in just a moment. First, though, this is PAX and 89 Days. Here on Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM. That was a track called 89 Days. They've recently been number one across Canada on campus community radio with their album Melt the Honey, and still riding high on the National Campus Radio charts at earshotonline.com. That track, again, was 89 Days from PAX. And Stephen...
Yes,
you were gonna. What is the opera you're going to see, and you're going to come back?
Yeah, sorry,
talk to us about next week.
It's called Song from the Uproar, and it's about the life and times of Isabel Eberhardt. I'm going to have a great time.
Excellent, awesome. And Ayu,
yes,
tell us about your favorite artist.
Okay, yeah. Hello everyone, today I'd like to introduce you to one of my favorite Japanese music groups called Kirolo. And Kirolo is a Japanese music group that that built it in 1998. So let's start with your song called Best Friend, which was released in 2004.
Tamam.